As promised, I have a new guest in Susan Huff is with me this morning. Susan is a member of Lake County Search and Rescue. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Susan.
Oh, thanks for having me, Katya.
Oh, it's fun to have you. I know we have an article out in the paper about search and rescue this week, and remembered how fascinating this is to many of us. First of all, just to know the facts about, you know, what might happen if you break your leg out in the woods, or any number of things can happen. But first, will you share with us a little bit about why you got involved with search and rescue and what's your background?
Well, I grew up in Minnesota, but then I spent my working career in Silicon Valley. So when I retired to the North Shore, I thought small towns are famously tricky to mesh into.
Yeah.
And I happened to read an article in the local paper about search and rescue. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, I already like hiking and camping and canoeing, and I could connect with my new community and also learn some skills that would make me safer.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of a wonderful thing.
That was the beginning. And what a wonderful idea. I think, you know, we do talk, you know, everyone talks about loneliness and how making new friends and new communities is a challenge. And people talk about volunteering, but I think not many would leap as high as you did to volunteer for search and rescue. But I bet the relationships you're making are real ones, and you're serving a real important use in the community at the same time. So I'm so glad it's working out. Tell us a little bit about, in the paper, we've been focusing on the training. So what kind of training do you get, and what kind of credentials do you need to be part of search and rescue?
You don't need a lot to start. We do require you to get an emergency responder credential. That's kind of comparable to what used to be called a first responder.
Yep. And you can go get that anywhere. It's not something it costs money and time. But
Lake County will support you in that, though.
Yes.
I got my EMT.
Yep.
And again, that was Lake County backed me in that. And I've done extra training in ice rescue, rope rescue, and swift water, which is river rescue. Ooh. So I'm credentialed in those.
Yeah.
But really, you need the willingness to come and roll out of bed when the pager goes off at midnight and go find those lost hikers, cut that car apart, you know,
yeah,
whatever is needed in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a certain number of hours per month? Or I know you do have some choice about whether you respond to calls or not.
Yeah, we triage the calls. I'm retired, so I go on a lot of calls, but so many of them just need one person.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need to leave your work or your little kids or whatever if it's helping someone up that has fallen and can't get up.
Right.
You know, maybe that's a two-person lift. But if we have an injured hiker and we're going to be carrying 3 miles along the SHT, then everybody who can possibly get away, we just need the muscle mass.
Right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what kind of calls are common here in Lake County. I'm guessing you get the gamut.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a huge range.
Yeah.
You get the elders that are still living alone, but maybe they've fallen and they need a hand. Very minor medical.
Yeah.
You get major medical calls. Someone has collapsed at home. You get vehicle accidents, boating accidents out on the big lake or in the inland lakes. We do have some river calls.
Like what kind of things in a river? Like someone swept down a river?
Yeah. Maybe someone gets in their kayak to go out fishing and doesn't realize that there are rapids downstream of where they're fishing.
Oof.
You know, it's challenging because we have cold water here in the north. So by the time we can get there, the person could be in serious trouble.
Yeah, right. Right. And I'm thinking that it sounds like many of your calls are in civilization. So it's not just out in the woods that you do calls, because you work closely with the ambulance crew.
Right.
As
it's
well.
A real mix. And if it's in town and it's primarily a medical call, then we assist the ambulance. And if it's out in the woods, then the ambulance is probably going to come along with us. They'll hike in with us, but we take lead until we get to pavement.
You know? Okay. So ambulances for the paved areas and search and rescue is for beyond
pavement.
I mean,
obviously, they've got more medical training than we have. They're a mix of EMTs and paramedics.
Yeah.
And they see more patients. But we're in charge of getting that patient stabilized and moved.
Yeah. Yep. What kind? Tell us an interesting story of something that's happened in the last few years.
Let's see. You know, I can't identify patients.
Yes,
but,
I do know that. Maybe give us, or you know, one thing. There was the years ago. I forget how many years ago there was a man lost in the woods for over a week, I think. And there's been a book written about it.
Yeah,
and that happened right around here. So
yeah, Lake County Rescue was in on that. The book is Lost in the Wild, and it's still in print. And it's a pretty good story of the work that goes into a prolonged wood search, and you know, bad decisions, good decisions, bad luck, and at the end, enough of a stroke of good luck that he did come out alive.
Right. I mean, what's the basic story? I mean, I know he was not a newcomer to the outdoors, but you said maybe he made a couple bad decisions.
They had rerouted that trail because it was too swampy where it was.
Okay.
And he had an old map. So he went into the swamp on what he thought was the trail and had told everyone he would be on the Powwow Trail. So people were searching the Powwow Trail itself for a few days.
Oh.
And, you know, you obviously can't just search where they think they are because they're often wrong.
Right. And, you know, it seems like one of the main lessons is in a wilderness as big as ours, if you're off the trail, you can be really lost. How did people even know that he was lost? Is it because he never showed up?
I believe it's because he was overdue.
Yeah. And how long did the search go on?
Until they found him.
How long?
I'm thinking it was about a week. I haven't read the book in a little while.
Okay. And this was before your time at Search
and
Rescue?
This was before my time. Bob Norlin, who is still on Rescue Squad, was in on that search. And he said he remembered days of hiking the Powwow Trail looking for him.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you must be people who not only really know how to get out of bed and put aside your own comfort, but also get a real sort of a kick out of being so helpful to people in a way at a time when they really need it. I know that, you know, when the few times in my life that I have had ambulance people or search and rescue involved, you know, you never forget those people because you're just so grateful to them. So it must be somewhat rewarding to be on that side of things as well. Have you had any particular touching moments with people?
It's huge for us being able to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the best part of my day that, that I've been able to be of use to somebody. There was one a little while ago, someone collapsed and I came and she looked up and said, "Wait, is your name Susan? My friend told me that you would come."
Wow.
There's like a little old lady network that knows that one of their own is on the rescue squad.
Oh, that is so sweet. And she probably just thought you were just this angel descending that she had known would show up. And I can see that. I mean, it's meeting people when they're very vulnerable. And
One of the things they say in EMT training is you try to be the best thing about the worst day of people's lives.
Interesting. How true. And now the pictures in the paper this week were about some special training you were having. You guys do a lot of training. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, we train twice a month. And things like rope rescue, ice rescue, river rescue are the most technical things that we do. We don't have to do those rescues very often, but they're very dangerous for us. So we need to train hard and make sure we're going to do it right when we do it.
The last thing you want is to need to be rescued yourselves.
Right. And for something like rope rescue, that's where it really comes out that we play different roles. For instance, if you're down over the edge of the cliff, it really helps to be tall and have long limbs and be strong.
Right.
I'm 5'2". I love rope work, but that's not really the place for me. I'm usually rigging the ropes at the top.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm really solid on that. I'll make sure that that rope is going to hold you when you go over the edge.
So rope rescue is any rescue that involves ropes. So that's presumably the cliffs around here. What else?
Sometimes people will decide to climb the cliffs at Gooseberry and they'll get halfway up and then realize that was maybe not such a good idea.
You must sometimes come upon scenes and go, "What were they thinking?"
Oh, frequently.
I mean, how could you not? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And ice rescue, same thing. We know we usually train for that in the spring when the ice is getting soft. This winter, nobody was out ice fishing.
Right. Do you get ice rescues? Like what kind of ice rescues? People ice climbing or ice fishing?
If someone falls through the ice, we need to move very quickly because you've got maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah. I'm surprised you'd even hear about it in time. Did that happen more this year than other years? I've heard about several skaters that fell through the ice. They all managed to get themselves back, but that would be a pretty
lot this year. Most people were not trusting the ice, so they weren't out on it. The other thing we didn't have much of this year were snowmobile accidents, and I was very grateful for that. Snowmobile accidents can be very bad.
High speeds and essentially reckless driving.
I mean, heavy snowmobiles, unyielding trees, and sometimes there's alcohol involved.
Yeah.
So people are just going, whee, this is so much fun. And all of a sudden the trail rounds a corner and maybe your snowmobile doesn't.
Yeah.
And then we're coming out there and usually the person's friends and family are there and the person may be
really
very
bad.
Gravely injured.
Yeah. How many in a typical winter, how many snowmobile accidents are there in Lake County?
Two or three that I would say.
Yeah.
Again, this year was a low year.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, any. And when there are fatalities, we usually hear about it in the paper, too. Those are not fun to rescue or to come upon, I'm sure. And, you know, another thing that this does, we're always talking about getting outside in numerous ways, and this sure gets you outside, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. This is my exercise program. So lots of hiking.
Lots of hiking and searching. How would you, if there are listeners thinking, I might possibly be interested, like, how would you characterize the type of person who would be a good rescuer?
Well, responsible is the first word that comes to mind. You know, when I applied to join rescue, I said, look, I'm sorry, I'm not 6'3" and 25 years old. And Bob, who was then the captain, replied, we wouldn't have very many people on the squad if we required that.
Yeah.
So we have a wide range of ages.
Okay.
I'm not even the oldest one on the squad, and I'm 63.
Yeah.
One of our members joined on his 18th birthday. He was just very eager.
Wow. Yeah. Good for him. And is he still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Another real asset to the squad.
Yeah.
So people who have an interest in the outdoors, that helps. Mm-hmm. We definitely have specialists. Some people are real strong on the medical and not as adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are really good with boat handling. Maybe they're the recreational fishermen. They're out every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably four of us that are just love being in the woods, and we're always out there on the lost or injured hiker calls.
Mm-hmm.
So you do what you can and what you want to do. But the biggest thing is just, you know, being willing to do it and being willing to do it well, to put in the training, put in the time so that you'll have those skills.
Yep. Do you know we hear all around the region about a shortage of both ambulance and search and rescue. Are you experiencing that here?
Our roster is seldom completely full. And we have some turnover. We have people who have the right impulses, they really want to help, and they join for a little while and they realize they really don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've got a job, they've got little kids, they've got too many other commitments, and they have to admit that they can't.
It is a big deal just to even to put in all the training time.
We're always happy to see more volunteers, and there's not a lot of requirement. You don't have to be a particular age, well, over 18.
No educational credentials.
Right.
You need to have a willingness.
Will help you get what you need for the emergency medicine part.
I think the sense of responsibility is interesting that you said that first, because when I think about it, that kind of is the main thing. Like, people that are really willing to be responsible for someone and be where they say they're going to be, essentially. That's kind of neat.
And you get to know your fellow squad members, and you look at the app and see who's coming and think, oh, yeah, we have a good team going in. This will be okay.
Yeah.
I can count on these people.
Yes. Do you have to learn to drive special vehicles?
There is an emergency vehicle operations course that we require the trainees to go through.
Okay.
And, you know, again, we'll put them through that.
Yeah.
The trucks are bigger and heavier than what most of us drive every day.
Right.
Although, I don't know, you've seen some of the trucks out on the yeah. roads that people have for their personal vehicles.
Right. One more question about water rescue. I mean, that's got to be wholly different. And if something happens out on Lake Superior, is it you or is it more the Coast Guard or both? Or how does that work?
Everybody goes as fast as they can.
Okay.
The Coast Guard has bigger, sturdier boats than we have, but they can't get there as fast.
Okay, right.
And DNR will also come.
When those boys... were jumping off the cliffs in Silver Bay last summer. Were you part of that one?
I was out of town for that, and okay. I got back into town just in time to hear the radio traffic. And then another emergency happened while most of our team was there.
Oh.
So those of us, I think a couple of us had just gotten back into town, and we went on the other one.
Summer is your main season. Is that true?
Yes, summer. Although fall was particularly busy this year. We had heavy rains and the trails became very slippery.
Oh.
And there was one day that was just brutal. We had a call for hypothermic campers up in Crosby, Manitou, and hiked in on a soaking wet, cold day to bring them out.
And, oh, no, I just have to interrupt because this is so interesting. Were they able to walk or why did they make the call and how did you get them out?
They didn't feel they'd be able to walk all the way out. And you can get ATVs along some of the Crosby Manitou trails. So the team forced an ATV out partway and then helped the campers build a fire and got them a little bit warmed up and then walked with them until the point that the ATV had reached.
Okay.
And I was with another team that was going in from another trail. If someone is out in the wilderness, we often come in from two directions, and then whichever team gets to them first
yeah. acts.
So my team ended up not seeing the campers at all, and we were just cold and wet and tired.
Oh.
And then we were coming back, driving back, and as we were passing the Split Rock River, we got another page saying there was an injured hiker up on the Split Rock River loop. So we're already soaked. We've been hiking several miles.
Yeah.
But we were right there. So
yeah.
we pulled in at the wayside and hiked 2 miles upriver and found this hiker who had fallen, slipped on muddy rocks.
Yeah.
And had a broken leg.
Really?
So wow. was not going to be walking out.
Yeah.
And then fortunately, we just ended up paging out Silver Bay Fire Department because when someone is that far away from a trailhead and can't walk at all.
Yeah.
The amount of muscle that it takes on
right.
on a harsh trail like Split Rock River Loop, it's just exhausting.
And so you called them and they were able to have enough manpower,
right.
human power to get the person out.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
I've done a carry out with 12 people and that sounds like a lot, you know, one at each corner of the stretcher, four on the stretcher.
Yeah.
Two carrying backpacks full of water and four resting at any given time.
Wow.
We wore ourselves completely out. We could barely complete that
I
task.
I believe that. And not even necessarily that many miles either. I mean,
right.
every foot matters
yeah.
in a situation like that.
Yeah.
And then the situation up north with the people that just needed to sort of get a fire going, it must be that you do come across people who... I mean, it's just such a wonderful compassion thing that you do because, you know, likely there have been some, well, no, I shouldn't even say that, but sometimes there's poor judgment involved.
And there is definitely
you
poor
just
judgment.
Go in there and you don't worry about that. You just help the person.
We try to be a little bit tactful.
Sometimes
yeah. we're really tired and it's hard.
Yeah, right. Right. And then sometimes do they just need you to do things like light a fire and then they're actually going to be okay? And then,
yeah,
and then you
absolutely.
All, wow.
What's really frustrating, especially, well, one, people will usually try to look after themselves until sundown, which I completely understand.
Oh,
but
yeah.
it means they always call us at bedtime.
That's so true. Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And the other thing, and it's pretty rare, but sometimes someone is just cold and tired.
Right.
And we look at each other and think, what did they think we're going to do
yeah.
that they can't do for themselves?
Yeah.
If you're too tired to walk any further, I am not piggybacking you out of the wilderness.
Right.
I'll help you rest. I'll help you get warm. I'm carrying chemical hand warmers and boot warmers. I'm carrying food and water. I can build a fire for you.
Yeah.
But you are eventually going to get on your feet and walk out of here.
Yeah. And I guess most of these calls from hikers, they just have their cell phone and they just call you. Is that what happens?
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't always realize that there are some big black holes for cell phone service in Lake County. We had one call. The poor person was very embarrassed. Their spouse was tracking their location.
Yeah.
And because of a loss of cell phone service, they thought that the person had been stationary for 45 minutes. So they call 911.
Oh.
And we go. And the person was walking along just fine. It's just that they'd lost signal.
Right.
And,
oh, my goodness.
And we're just mortified.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You should do. I wish there was some kind of a training on how and when to actually use these emergency services that take up a lot of time and energy. But that is probably a whole nother interview. I'm speaking with Susan Huff, a member of the Lake County Search and Rescue. And Susan, we're out of time, but this has been a total pleasure. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or that you'd like to leave us with?
Oh, we can always do another interview because we can talk about rescue all day, every day. I would like to say it's the people of Lake County that support us. And thanks to them for providing our training and equipment that we use to keep Lake County people and also visitors safe.
Yes. And if someone is interested, who should they contact?
They should go onto the county website and look for the employment application because although we're not paid, we are employed in that sense.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Susan.
Thanks
and
for having
we'll
me.
We'll have Katja. You again. Bye-bye. Yeah. Susan Huff, member of Lake County Search and Rescue.